This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. I'm so happy to partner with ByHeart because their goal is to create a future where all parents feel amazing about feeding their baby, no matter how they do it. Their mission is simple: make the best infant formula in the world. Let me tell you a little bit more. ByHeart's patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk by including the two most abundant proteins in breast milk, plus whole and partially broken down proteins for a nutritious blend that's gentle on tummies. ByHeart ran a clinical trial where they compared their formula to a leading infant formula, improved benefits like less spit up, easier digestion, and so much more. ByHeart is leading the ways in a lot of ways. They're the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed, whole milk, not skim. It's the only new infant formula brand to add a comparison to breast milk in their clinical trial. And ByHeart is the first infant formula company to receive Clean Label Project's Purity Award. So are you curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code minimalist for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply.
I think a lot of people think through that lens of like, what if it comes back into style and I've gotten rid of it? I don't want to buy it again. My personal take on that is I really like to figure out your style, not based in trends, but based on your body type, your lifestyle, your career, your climate. And like for me, I found like I really like a 70s vibe. I always have. I was born in the 70s. I love like big glasses. I love flowy feminine tops. I like high-waisted bell-bottom jeans, right? For me, that's what works on my body and for my lifestyle. And it never really goes out of style because I've just decided it's me. Right? So sometimes 70s will come in and sometimes it will go out. But I think I've just decided to not concern myself with that because it's what I feel like I look and feel best in. So I kind of encourage people to banish that whole like, what if it comes back? And instead really lean into what do I feel best in?
Hello and welcome to the Minimalist Moms Podcast. Join me today as I bring you the first episode in the new series, Decluttering Room by Room. I've asked six women to join me in tackling various areas in our home, and we'll chat about how to keep each space minimal and most efficient for our families. In today's episode, Shira Gill, author of Minimalista and Organized Living, will take us through decluttering our closets. Shira shares her step-by-step process for decluttering the closet, emphasizing the importance of setting goals and understanding how you want to feel in your clothes. After we had stopped recording, I told her I was so excited to release this episode because she actually brought new information. I've done several episodes on the closet, and somehow she still had a very fresh, unique take. So I can't wait for you to hear this episode. But before we get there, I quickly want to share the minimalist moment of the week. I received a question on Instagram from a mom that said she was struggling with decluttering toys because she didn't have all the pieces to donate. She said it was a paralyzing feeling. I have a few thoughts on this, but I also wanted to reach out to my friend Melanie all the way in Australia to get her opinion. So here's Melanie's advice.
Hi, it's Mel from The Savvy Mama. For the minimalist moment a week, looking at the question of struggling to declutter toys, if you don't have all the pieces to donate, that's definitely tricky. I've been there before. Look, sometimes I'll put a toy that's got missing pieces in our spare room and hope pieces turn up. I might give our boys a challenge. You can find the piece and have a prize if they can find it. But look, other times I just have a time limit on it. If I can't find the piece, I give up. Either donate it as it is. I'd bid it if it's no longer useful without the pieces. I think if you're feeling really overwhelmed as a mum, the last thing you need to do is hold on to stuff that you don't need. It can really just be a real cause of stress. It doesn't look like much on the face of it, but when you've got so many things in your life building up, just another thing you need to deal with. We overthink things. We don't want to just throw things in the bin necessarily. But with that comes some boarding, right? We have too much stuff because we want to get rid of things in the right way. And so I think I'm learning that I just need to care a little bit less. Like, yes, be environmentally friendly, you know, recycle and donate and sell where you can. Then at the same time, we don't need to keep everything. And yeah, just permission giving that we can let things go and be okay with it.
Thank you to Mel for her advice here. Like she said, don't allow things in your home to debilitate you. Don't keep them around just because you feel bad. Mel noted the importance of sustainability and recycling if you can, but if you're specifically trying to donate something like a puzzle, I think a great sustainable option would be to post the object on a Buy Nothing group on Facebook. You never know what someone might come up with your quote-unquote trash. I love that saying, one man's trash is another man's treasure. And if no one comments within a week, either get rid of it if it really is missing a ton of pieces or donate it. So I hope some of this was helpful. Thank you again to Mel all the way from Australia. I loved hearing her accent. Please feel free to submit questions to me on Instagram. I try to get to all of my messages in my inbox, but sometimes it does get a little crowded in there. So feel free to email me if you haven't heard back. And lastly, if you have yet to leave a rating or review on iTunes, pause the episode, quickly scroll down to the bottom of the Minimalist Moms page, and leave a 5-star review if you've been enjoying the show. I heard another podcaster recently say it this way, and I can't unhear it. She said not leaving a review for a podcast that you've been enjoying is like going to a restaurant and not paying a tip to the waiter. It may not fully correlate, but I get what she's saying. It takes less than 30 seconds to leave a rating and review, and I'm telling you, this is the biggest impact that the show has in its visibility to others that are looking to live their lives with less. So thank you to all of you who have left ratings and reviews in the past, shared the episodes with friends. You mean so much to me, and I thank you for doing so. And with that, let's get into this first episode of Decluttering Room by Room, The Closets, with my guest, Shira Gill. I'm excited to have you here today to talk about decluttering the closet. You are going to be my room by room decluttering the closet, Shira Gill, which you've joined me before. Let's just do quick introductions and then we'll go ahead and get into the process.
I'm Shira. Thank you for having me back. I always love talking with you. And I have been a professional organizer for almost 15 years now. I'm based in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I have 2 kids and a husband and a dog. So I know all types of clutter. And I'm also the author of 2 books, Minimalista and Organized Living.
Perfect. So you're going to first and foremost take us through the steps of how you would declutter a closet. And the reason that I have you here is because not only do you have your personal knowledge of helping people organize their homes, with your recent book, you've actually talked to a ton of different professional organizers and gotten their insight as well. So I feel like you're going to just be a wealth of information here today. And I have had decluttering the closet episodes before, but I feel like this is really going to be a how-to, what keeps us stuck, and just personal experience from you. So I can't wait to pick your brain. So let's dive into it. How do you personally declutter your closet?
Yeah. So I have a basic process that is really, I think, easy if you start with this question, which is, what is my goal with my closet and my wardrobe? So I think often people try to declutter and organize before they've really figured out why they're doing it. So whenever I'm approaching a closet and wardrobe, I always start by just asking, how do you want to feel in your clothes? What do you want to convey to the world with your wardrobe, right? Because the way we dress really is a shorthand to the world. It says a lot about us and how we're showing up and what we like or don't like, our preferences. So I always like to get clarity, both for myself and for my clients, before we dive into editing. So once you have a sense of, and I will say it's funny because I've organized hundreds of closets and most women have the same answer for their goal, which is, I want to feel effortlessly elevated. And so I just wanted to say that because it seems to be such a universal thing that women are busy and often, you know, juggling so many tasks and so many responsibilities. But I think most of us do want to feel like we're not a schlump when we head out the door and we're not going to be embarrassed if we run into somebody, right? So I think just getting a foundation of how do I want to present myself? Then the next step is I like to say, pull out your favorite outfit. Like if you had to go get dressed right now and you knew you were going to run into an ex or see somebody that you wanted to impress or just feel really good and confident, what is the bar that we're setting? What is the thing that you know that you feel good in? Because also sometimes when you do that, you can get information about yourself and your preferences. If you do feel lost, you can be like, oh, the outfit I pulled out was really structured or was monochromatic or was flowy and ruffly and feminine. So I think starting with that can be a nice, strong basis. And then I actually like to hang that outfit up so that as you're editing and decluttering, if you get stuck, you can kind of go to it and be like, well, does it make me feel good the way this makes me feel good? So, okay, so starting with clarity and really setting a foundation of how do I want to dress? What do I like and dislike? And then in terms of just the practicality of a closet edit, I always like to have big garbage bags, or I often use those big blue IKEA bags because they're indestructible and you can get so many clothes and shoes and bags in them, they'll never break. So set yourself up so that you have vessels for donating. I notice, especially for women, a lot of women also want to have a pile of like things to give to my sister or my mom or my best friend, like the things that I don't just want to dump at Goodwill, but I actually have a place for. And then a third pile potentially for things you want to sell or consign that are very high end, or there's like a big sunken cost, maybe a designer handbag that you just never wore, but you feel like I want to recover at least a little money. So I like to have those three piles. And so you could just put a post-it on the floor, or you could have three big vessels. Like when I'm organizing a home, I bring like big pop-up bins and I put a label on it so that then it's really easy. You can just kind of toss in to the appropriate bin. So with the editing process, I think that where people often get really overwhelmed is they take everything out of their closet and they have this massive mountain and they start editing. And then the phone rings or they have to pick up a kid and they're left with this monstrous disaster. So the way that I choose to edit a closet instead is just one category at a time. And the reason that I do that is because then you can have a 15-minute win and make some progress, even if you're like, I'm just pulling out all my tank tops and I'm going to do a quick edit and then I'm going to fold them and put them back. Then you can start with the next category whenever you have time. And so you're never leaving yourself with a big mess. So within that, I typically, and I don't even know why this is, but I'll typically start with like tops and blouses, and then I'll do sweaters, and then I'll do pants and bottoms, then depending on the wardrobe, dresses and skirt. And then I get into accessories like shoes, handbags, each as their own category. And depending on the volume of the stuff you own, like sometimes I can do an entire wardrobe edit with someone in like half a day. Sometimes it's multiple days and multiple closets and storage units and garages. So you just want to ensure that you have somewhere between 15 minutes and a couple hours. I think most people can't just slog through piles for like hours upon hours upon hours. So short bursts, I think, is always best.
That's a great tip, because when I originally decluttered my closet, it was, I think, not long after I had my first child. And I invited someone over that I had worked with at the time. She was, I don't think she'd mind me saying this, she was just like incredibly direct, blunt, a little rude sometimes. And I was like, you were the person to help me navigate what put on.
Yeah.
So I did it with, I love these things. And then I had an absolutely not pile. And then I had this maybe pile, this limbo pile that my husband really couldn't help me go through, because he was like, oh, you look great. So I really liked bringing her in, because she gave me an honest assessment of some of those things that I wanted honest feedback on. But totally. I'm curious to know, this is just a side question that I had. My sister-in-law, we're in Columbus, and she has just gone through and brought in her winter wardrobe into her closet and switched everything out. And she was making fun of my cousin and I because we don't do that. And I just don't have as many clothes as everyone else, but it feels like I have an abundance. Is that something that you think we should do? Should we have two seasons up, or should we have all the seasons up at all times? Or do you think it's better for our mindset to have all those clothes?
Yeah, it's so controversial. I live in California.
Yeah.
So I'll put that out there because everyone's going to yell at me because I live in California. And so we don't have real seasons.
Yeah, yeah.
However, even when I lived in Chicago for 3 years, I've lived in London, I've lived in places with very extreme weather and seasons.
Okay.
I've never rotated my wardrobe. So The exception to that is like when I lived in Chicago, I basically had like a little capsule for winter and a little capsule for summer, which were the only items really like I'm not going to wear a huge snow parka in the summer, right? Or rain boots. But for the most part, I like to create a wardrobe that feels timeless and classic and can be layered and mixed and matched and transitional. And so that essentially when I lived in Chicago, I lived in like jeans and light sweaters or blouses. And then in the winter, I'd add a big coat and a hat and gloves and change my shoes. And then in summer, I'd kind of strip down and wear more of the tank tops. I'm not a shorts person anyway, so I kind of live in jeans year round. But even now in California, like I travel to New York a lot for work. I have a little basket in my closet that has gloves and a hat and a scarf. And then I have one big jacket. And that's like my entire winter wardrobe, even when I'm in New York or Chicago or London. So I really think it can be done. I have a lot of friends in New York that argue with me about this. And so if it works for you and you really like having a seasonal wardrobe, then more power to you. It just is more work, right? To go through and kind of swap out. And if you do that, I do think unpacking and packing are great opportunities to reevaluate your wardrobe so that you're not packing up things and storing them that you never really ended up wearing. But that can be a good opportunity to be like, you know what? Winter's winding down. I never wore this sweater. I'm going to donate it before I winter. So that's my two cents on that. But I think, you know, my goal with my own closet and when I'm helping others is that you can shop your closet easily. You can get dressed easily. It's fun to get dressed, that everything kind of can be mix and matchy. And so for me, you know, I have what some people might think is a very boring wardrobe. I wear a lot of black and white and denim. I don't have a lot of pattern. I don't have a lot of color. But I really think you can still have a minimal capsule wardrobe and be you. So maybe that's like you like wearing all green or you like wearing neon, but it's still a less is more approach. It's still, I don't need to have 10 of the same thing and just different varieties. I'm going to pick the best and brightest in the bunch and take really good care of it.
If you're planning to cut back on alcohol this dry January, Recess Zero Proof Craft Mocktails are the perfect alcohol replacement. Recess has meticulously crafted familiar favorites such as Lime Margarita and Grapefruit Paloma, allowing you to savor the flavors and experience of these cocktails without the alcohol content. Throughout January, my listeners can take advantage of a special offer and get 15% off the Recess Mocktail Sampler Pack at takearecess.com/minimalist. Every can of Recess boasts a lightly sparkling mocktail infused with functional ingredients and a calorie count of 25 or less. It's a guilt-free option for winding down during dry January. Again, whether it's the end of a demanding day, a dinner gathering, or simply a moment to unwind, these mocktails are the perfect choice. You won't miss the alcohol, and you certainly won't miss dealing with a hangover. Get 15% off Recess mocktails now at takearecess.com/minimalist so you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you more about mylifeinabook.com. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you choose to ask. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. One of the challenges I face with being a minimalist is wanting to be as intentional as possible about the things that I am buying. I do understand that I live in a world where I can't completely avoid purchases. There are birthdays, there are holidays, there are the celebrations. But if I can be more intentional about gift giving, it's so important to me. I've had the experience to gift one to my mom, and being able to gift that to her seemed more significant than something that wasn't as sentimental to her. So if this sounds like a gift that you'd be interested in giving, check out mylifeinabook.com and use code MINIMALIST at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code MINIMALIST for 10% off today.
Are you ready to take your gardening game to the next level this year? If you're anything like my husband and me, you've been getting your hands dirty in the garden, learning the ropes, and dreaming of a bountiful harvest. Well, let me tell you about Coast of Maine Planting Soil, our secret weapon for a thriving garden. Everything grown in Coast of Maine soil is organic and safe for your family and friends right out of the garden. Their living soils are carefully crafted to enhance soil structure, provide essential nutrients, and promote robust plant growth. With a diverse portfolio of products for all your gardening needs, they're rooted in sustainable practices and a commitment to organic excellence. Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. The products are carried by local retail partners who can provide advice and insight not found in big box stores. Coast of Maine knows from beginner to expert, anyone who takes a hand to the land has something to offer the growing community of gardeners everywhere. Their products make organic gardening simple, approachable gardening for everyone. So let's get growing. Visit coastofmaine.com to find a local retailer near you. Coast of Maine, like the state with an E.com.
The one thing that I have yet to declutter, and we just moved, and so I still do have these things. Do you remember when scarves were so popular? Maybe they still are. I feel like Madewell will have scarves every spot.
They're little.
But yeah. In the mid, like 2005 to 2010, you would wear a scarf with your t-shirt.
Yes, it was a vibe. Yeah, for sure.
I have a few scarves even for winter that are big, and I just feel like people don't use those anymore, but I'm seeing all these trends come back, so I'm holding on to a few of these things. I don't know. Right. I think it's hard to figure out, like, holding on for the future. I definitely am opposed to doing that, so it's curious that I can't get rid of the scarves.
I know. It is interesting, and I think a lot of people think through that lens of, like, what if it comes back into style and I've gotten rid of it? I don't want to buy it again. My personal take on that is I really like to figure out your style, not based in trends, but based on your body type, your lifestyle, your career, your climate. And like for me, I found like I really like a 70s vibe. I always have. I was born in the 70s. I love like big glasses. I love flowy feminine tops. I like high-waisted bell-bottom jeans, right? For me, that's what works on my body and for my lifestyle. And it never really goes out of style because I've just decided it's me, right? So sometimes 70s will come in and sometimes it will go out. But I think I've just decided to not concern myself with that because it's what I feel like I look and feel best in. So I kind of encourage people to banish that whole, like, what if it comes back, and instead really lean into what do I feel best in? I have a friend named Lisa who just loves wearing a dress. She wears a maxi dress every day of the week. And like she doesn't own a single pair of jeans. And that is her vibe for anything and everything she's doing is like a fun, colorful printed dress. For me, it's jeans and a white blouse. That's what I'm wearing like 99% of the time. So I think if you can find the thing, like the silhouette, the colors, the style, even the brands that you really connect with, and separate yourself out from that narrative that like you have to keep up with the trends. You have to fit in with other people. For me, that's been hugely liberating. And I feel like you kind of become your own personal brand that people really appreciate. Like, I think of my friend Lisa, like, oh, she always has the fun dress. Like, it's so Lisa, you know? I'm not thinking she's out of trend. We aren't doing dresses right now. So I think hopefully that can help liberate people to really lean into, you know, the things that they actually feel good in. Like I realized I'm really not a dress person. Like I don't feel like me in a dress. And so I've basically given away all my dresses and leaned into, even if I'm going to dress up, maybe I'll wear a jumpsuit or maybe I'll wear like a cool menswear inspired suit. But I'm just not a dress person. So even if they're like the hottest thing, it's not me. The other thing I was going to say is I think people get really stuck. So editing and decluttering is a difficult, painstaking process for most people because you have to make so many decisions. And so I've come up with some questions that have been really anchoring and I think helpful both when I get stuck and when I'm coaching someone through the process. So I was just going to share for your listeners a few of those questions.
The next question was, what is something that keeps us stuck? So I love that you have these questions for us. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. And I think the big things that keep people stuck are the sunken cost syndrome of, I invested a lot of money. It would be like useless to just get rid of it. But if you're not going to wear it, it's useless to gather dust, right? It's much more useful to give to somebody. The other things I see are like, you know, just what we talked about, that like, what if it comes back or what if I regret it? And that's really just getting into trusting yourself and being like, I know myself. I know what I feel good in. I can make these decisions and like, I don't have to overthink it or be in that scarcity mindset. So, okay, a few of the questions that have been helpful to me. Would I buy this item for full price today? That one always gets me and kind of keeps me honest. If I'm hemming and hawing about something, I can be like, would I go out and buy this today? And usually I wouldn't if it's something that I'm like on the fence about. The other one I love is like, if I was moving and starting fresh, would I pack this up and take it with me? I have moved a lot. I've moved 25 times in my life. And so the process of packing and unpacking and packing and unpacking, it really helps you refine your style, your values. What are the things that really serve me and what is just annoying? And so I think if you think about that, or even like, if I were to pack for a trip, would I want to take this with me? Is it kind of in my top 10? Then another one people have told me is very helpful is this item worth the space it's taking up in my closet or wardrobe? So I think sometimes you can look at something and be like, oh, like it's a black shirt, right? Maybe it's useful. You always need a black shirt. But the question is, we all have limited space and resources. So is that worth the space it's taking up, or would you rather have a different piece that you invest in? Because if you keep adding and adding and adding, as we know, you're just going to be surrounded by a mountain of clutter. So I think thinking about it, for me in a closet, I love having space between my hangers. I love being able to see everything at a glance, not having to sort through piles or having mountains in a chair or on the floor. And so for me, if I'm on the fence about something, I think of letting go of it, not as losing or like scarcity, but actually as I'm creating more space. So I think switching that lens to, instead of I'm giving up a thing, I'm giving myself the gift of more spaciousness. The other thing would be, does this item energize or drain me? Like really just feeling into, am I excited to put this on my body? You know, if it's something you have to convince yourself or talk yourself into, you're probably not going to reach for it. And the one other one that I would add is, does this item support and reflect the vision I have for my ideal life? So if you take a few minutes to think about like, what am I building? What am I striving for? What are the new results I want to create in my home or life or career? Does this item align with that vision? Does it make sense? If you're trying to get pregnant and be a stay-at-home mom, maybe keeping a huge corporate wardrobe doesn't make sense for you, or vice versa. Maybe if your kids are grown and you want to dive into a new career, you want to think about building a wardrobe about that wardrobe and reflecting for yourself. So I always think clothing is really powerful in terms of how it makes us feel. And so try it on and see how you feel.
Absolutely. It is funny, as you're saying that your first step would be pull out an outfit that aligns with what you most love. I'm trying to think through some of my clothes and I'm like, what do I really love? So I'm going to do that when I get off the call with you. But also, I bet there are listeners that say, I don't really have anything that reflects me right now. Does that mean I have to go out and buy a whole new wardrobe? Where would you encourage them to start? If they don't have a wardrobe that they love, we're not going to necessarily go drop thousands of dollars to get new clothes.
Right. Yes. So what I always start with is just doing a little research. So that can be depending on what you're into. It can be browsing Pinterest and making a board. I always find that very informative to just gather and collect outfits I love and just make a board. It can be private. And then once you've kind of collected a number of outfits or even pieces, you can use that as information. So I have a Pinterest board. It's actually public if people are curious. But after collecting all of my inspiration, I looked at it and I kind of studied it and I realized everything that I love is monochromatic and neutral. And I hadn't really been conscious of that until I created the Pinterest board. And then I thought, oh, actually, like, I have like a white top and white pants, but I've never put them together. I love how this woman looks in all white. I'm going to try it, and shop my own wardrobe. So I find, you know, either through Pinterest or, you know, if you're old school and you want to look through old magazines and rip out cutouts and like make a collage, or even just like sometimes I'm sneaky and I photograph street style when I'm traveling, especially like women that just look really cool to me. I'll like take a quick snap or I'll ask them like, where did you get that? I love it. So I think taking the time to really thoughtfully gather information and be curious, like play detective about your own style. And most of us are not super conscious of what we like and what we don't like until we put in that effort and energy. Another kind of fun hack is just if you find a brand that you know, I always love things from this one brand. Personally, I only shop a couple brands because I found brands that align with kind of my style profile and goals and fit my body well. And I hate going to department stores and I don't love shopping. So when I need something, I'll just look at one or two places that I know I've already kind of vetted. So that can be easy to look at, like, what are those brands that just resonate for me? And maybe I'm going to just slowly build a wardrobe out of those pieces.
Absolutely. I'm curious to know, kind of as we wrap things up here, what has been for you personally the, I don't know, most liberating thing of having your closet decluttered and have taken the time to go through and do this?
I think it's two things. Ease in my daily life. So I'm a busy working mom. My schedule's go, go, go. And I think having a streamlined minimal wardrobe, I guess I would say I have something of a capsule wardrobe, means I never really have to think about what I'm going to wear or like wrestle through things. I can pick any top and any bottom and go out the door in 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. I also can for trips really quickly and easily without overthinking. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I would say is confidence. Editing and refining your wardrobe is kind of the ticket to defining your own style and leaning into your preferences. Mm-hmm. So I think where I used to look at trends more or look at what other people were wearing or doing, I now really let myself be the guide and I'm more confident in my own personal style. And so getting dressed is more fun and I just feel better in my clothes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I usually wrap up with two questions, but I'm going to do a speed round here at the end. But why don't, before we get there, you tell listeners where they can find you and connect with you online.
Oh, perfect. Okay. So my website is my name, shiragill.com. It's shiragill.com. You can also find me on Instagram at shiragill. And I write a Substack and have a great community there that's called The Minimalista Edit. And finally, I have two books that are out that both address closet and wardrobe and editing. Minimalista, which came out a couple years ago, and my new book, Organized Living.
Well, instead of asking you the two questions, this just came to mind. I would love to just do a quick fire round with you. I want to know if you are looking at your week and you have brunch on the horizon, what do you wear to brunch?
That's so fun. Jeans and a white blouse.
Okay. What about drinks in the evening?
Jeans and a white blouse. And then I'd add a blazer and maybe some, I'm not into high heels, but I love a little height. So maybe like a booty with a little heel.
Okay. What about weekend with the kids?
I've been really loving a sweatsuit. Like I feel like a sweatsuit can be super chic if it's monochromatic.
Okay.
So I've been wearing like a cream or a gray sweatsuit with some high top Converse and then like big sunglasses.
Okay. Lastly, let me think of another good one. I need to get one more in here. Your work day.
Well, it's so funny because my work day varies so much because sometimes I'm like in a client's home on my hands and knees in a basement and sometimes I'm doing a podcast. But like I'm talking to you now, I just threw a blazer on because that's like my professional look. Yeah. But I threw it on over ripped jeans and a white t-shirt.
Okay.
So, and I have been, I think post-pandemic, I used to wear heels a lot more. I've been living in a high top sneaker and just kind of owning like, I live in the San Francisco Bay Area. We're casual here. I like to be comfortable. I'm running around a lot. And so I've gotten into really classic sneakers. Like I love an old school Van, like a checkered Van. Mm-hmm. And I love a white high top Converse sneaker.
Okay.
So those are kind of my go-tos. And then honestly, I would wear a white t-shirt and jeans. And if I was going out for like drinks or a meeting, I would just throw on heels and a blazer. Okay. So my staples are always basically a white top and jeans, no matter what's happening. Yeah. And then I just get variety with my shoes and accessories.
Absolutely. No, every time I've talked to you, you always look great and you have just such a, it's such a classic style. I definitely would love to emulate it, though I'm just in a sweatshirt today. So one day I'll get a
sweatshirt. I love a sweatshirt.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was so fun.
Well, thank you, Cher, for joining me for this decluttering room by room series that I'm doing, talking about the closet. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
What did you think of the episode? I hope you enjoyed the conversation. To learn more about today's guest, including links, resources related to everything discussed today, visit the episode page at minimalistmomspodcast.com, where you can find the entire podcast archive, as well as my book, Minimalist Moms, Living and Parenting with Simplicity, or other ways to connect or work with me online. If you'd like to support the podcast, the easiest and most impactful thing you can do is subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and leave a rating or review of your favorite episode. Lastly, sharing the show or your favorite episode with friends on social media is very helpful and will encourage others on their journey to think more and do with less.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.